The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You know, Bob, Aaron is so lucky that I'm a punctual person. Don't you agree?
We need at least one of those.
Aaron, if you're listening, you better be bringing me candy. Okay, that's all I have to say. So, I hear her laughing. She's such a rat.
We're not on the air.
You know, you have no excuses anymore. You live close. You got a freeway right behind you.
I was packing.
I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. So
you can blame the weather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was the weather.
I got here.
Was that a rattlesnake?
I'm sorry.
No, see, this is my little Christmas bracelet.
I remember it from last year.
Yeah, and I got up this morning, I was getting dressed, and I saw that bracelet, and I thought, oh, yeah, that really annoyed Aaron last year.
I totally remember it from last year.
I think I need to wear that today.
It's like, oh, the Carmen Miranda bracelet.
Yeah, the mistake you made was telling me that it annoyed you.
No, it's okay. That wasn't a mistake.
Oh, my goodness. You're joining We the People Radio.
Oh, did we just join us?
Yes.
Oh, right on.
A couple of days before Christmas, and we are streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin, and today we're talking about Agenda 21, third week in a row. And, you know, the cool thing is that we've had a different speaker each week, which means that there are more and more people that are starting to get the picture. And we've got a lot of people that are experts in this subject. And we're going to be talking to Rosa Corey, who is absolutely, I think she's our hero, actually.
Yeah, she's like the dark horse in this race.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, she's awesome.
You know, kind of came out of nowhere
for us. And she's, you know, really steamrolled this thing. So she's jumping on board today with us it might be her fourth time on our show. Third or fourth? At least the third.
Yeah, I didn't go double check, but I read an article that she wrote, and I'll save the title. It's actually on the webpage, wethepeopleradio.us. She's going to join us about 11:30.
Sorry, 11:30.
So I'm going to be gone.
11:30 on the East Coast.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, is that where she's at?
No, she's here. I don't know where that came from, okay?
You're reaching out to our East Coast listeners.
There we go.
There you are.
Either that or I time traveled on my way in. Oh, look at the annoyed look I just got from Bill.
Hey, and if you want to jump on the chat room, it's always alive and well and usually pretty entertaining. And the phone number to call in is 530-605-4567.
Yeah, this would be a good time to call in, too, because we've got a little bit of time before Rosa joins us. She was jammed up this morning. So
and also,
we thought we'd chat with you guys.
It gives you a chance to, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, it gives you a chance to read about Rosa. And the article is good.
Yeah,
you have a preview of what we're going to be talking about today.
It was kind of one of those articles when I read it, I was like, ooh, edgy. And that's like, wait a minute, you know what? That's exactly the kind of stuff that we keep talking about. How many different angles, you know, can we come at this whole topic from? Because we have, okay, at this point, I think Bruce Ross is the canary in the coal mine, right?
Yeah.
So he mentioned Agenda 21 in an article.
Yeah.
That it really does exist.
Oh.
So, I mean, that the, you know, treaty's there. He didn't concede that it had anything to do with anything. I guess the rest is just a coincidence. But anyway, so.
And it's funny because I posted something on Facebook and he had a comment about it. And he mentioned that the economy is a little bit better than we're willing to admit because home values are starting to go back up again. But what he failed to mention was because there's absolutely no inventory. People are either underwater and can't go anywhere, or the banks are holding on to the foreclosures. So there's simply a real lack of inventory. Historically low amounts
of... home values are going up, it's because of a lack of supply.
It's called supply and demand,
yeah.
Bruce.
Hmm. What a novel idea.
Yeah.
But I didn't think we still allowed that.
Apparently. I mean, I guess there are some forces...
Haven't we drummed them out of the core
yet?
But
I think there's some forces of nature that you can't stop.
Exactly.
So that is the primary reason for the increase in home values, not because the economy is good.
Did you say idiot?
I did. I whispered it.
That's okay.
I have to speak up so people can hear.
It's okay. I was just helping
idiot.
You out.
Is that better?
You idiot. Okay. We're having a little accident. there's just a ton of stuff. I also ran into, I don't even know how many people, a bunch last week, that all, you know, it's kind of like they looked around, you know, like they were doing something, you know, against the law. They're like, look back and forth. And then it's like, you know what? I'm still kind of pissed off from the election.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm still kind of mad. I'm just not over it. You know, just the same yeah. thing.
Well, I don't think everybody's going to get over that.
I think it's creating some tension for folks.
Yeah, and you know, the truth of the matter is, and I don't know what everybody else has been doing the last couple of weeks, but, you know, I've kind of hunkered down a little bit and sort of gotten back to spend a little time with my family and reconnecting with some old friends and just doing things that are, you know, kind of resemble a normal life, knowing full well that we'll be back in gear very quickly. But I think everybody needs just a tiny breather, you know, mm-hmm. just to kind of.
Well, I think that was just the signal that all the work from the last few years mm-hmm. just means there's going to be more.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like remodeling your house. You know, you think mm-hmm. you're getting somewhere and mm-hmm. all of a sudden you know, you lift up the flooring. You're like, oh no.
Yeah. You don't feel like you're ever
there's
done.
There's more. Yeah. It's never going to be done. So anyway, I don't know. Just there's a lot going on in people's lands.
Yeah, and you know this tragedy in Connecticut has opened up huge cans of worms. You know, it's just kind of interesting because you start to really look at things from a philosophical standpoint. And
unless you're the left, in which case you want to legislate everything as crazily as possible,
and
as quickly as possible.
And it's just funny because if you looked at Timothy McVeigh, who blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City, you know what, 15, 20 years ago, I don't know when it was, but he didn't use a gun, he used a car bomb.
True.
You know? So if somebody's is hell-bent on causing chaos, they're going to do it one way or the other.
Well, I got there was a picture, somebody sent me a, I don't know who it was, but I got it last night, and it was the president and his wife going down the street, like waving.
Oh,
must have been in some kind of parade or whatever.
Yeah.
And the little bubble coming out of their mouth says, you know, we need to do away with all the guns or something.
And they're surrounded by Secret Service with guns.
Yeah.
Protecting them as they walk down the street.
Yeah, did you see that in the little red words next to each one of them, gun and a little arrow?
Did you see the picture of him surfing in Hawaii? Do you think he's got Secret Service men surfing alongside him? Do they do that?
I don't know.
I mean, do they follow him everywhere?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Scuba divers.
Ah.
Scuba
probably.
Divers. Nuclear submarines. I don't know. It is just sort of, I don't know. Yeah, the answer isn't more rules and more control. I mean, every single time we have one of these things, it's crazy people.
Sure, and they're going to be crazy.
Yeah,
you need to address that issue.
Yeah, you know, we got a little problem with that. We haven't done such a great job with our mental health.
And you know, it's funny because they just refuse to acknowledge that movies and video games have anything to do with it. But you know what I heard? And it was a pretty reliable source, but I heard that there's been a video game out for sale in the public for 10 years called Kindergarten Killers.
Actually, it's free on the internet.
Oh, great.
I got that link last night, too.
God. Yeah. So, you know, of course, that has absolutely nothing to do with anything, right?
Yeah, but see, if I was going to go the other way, if I was going to argue the other side of it, I'd say, well, it's been out there for 10 years, so.
Right.
Really?
And when was Columbine?
They weren't in kindergarten.
No, but still.
Yeah. So.
You know what I'm saying.
I don't know. I think people that are, you know, that are over the edge, they're over the edge, and they're always going to be over the edge.
And they will do whatever they're going to do one way or the other.
Columbine was 1999, I believe.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, why didn't we just ask Bob?
I know. Mr. Encyclopedia.
What about Bob?
That would have been quicker, wouldn't it?
Exactly. What about Bob? Bob, what are you doing for Christmas?
Glad you asked. I putting together 3 hours worth of Christmas music to play on KCNR 1460 AM on Tuesday morning from 6 to 9, because normally I would be doing the news and Carl and Linda would be doing Free Fire Radio, but it is Christmas falling on a Tuesday this year, so we'll have 3 hours
nice.
Of holiday favorites.
Great.
Before we go to our network programming on Tuesday morning.
I'm having 18 people to my house for dinner.
That sounds relaxing.
Oh, as far as what I'm doing at home, wife and I are having the traditional crab feed on Christmas Eve.
Nice, nice. Well, very
that's
good.
Fun.
Assuming we can find any around town.
Oh.
But
Kent, do we have a...
Kent's is usually good about that. Kent's meats.
Really? They do seafood too, eh?
They do.
They have great meat.
Oh, well, who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew they had meat, but I didn't
that's
know they
a great. That's a great little place.
Well, that's fun. Yeah, somebody in the chat room here, we'll just zigzag back and forth here. They were saying, did you read about all the CCW permit-carrying people that have stopped shootings? And because they kept it down to only two death incidents, the professors failed to put them into the equation.
Mm.
I asked if they would send me that. I was reading one last night that was talking about 25... It had 2,500 different incidents that didn't happen because somebody mm-hmm. in that
yeah. We wouldn't
in
we
that
wouldn't
mix
want,
was carrying
we wouldn't want that to get out
legally carrying a weapon.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that to get out.
And I was going
to
find that for you, but you know,
I just think it's fascinating that the gun sales and the CCW permits are going through the roof. And what did I read?
Oh, yeah.
8,000 people a day since that tragedy have joined the NRA.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm reading this on semi-mainstream media, so I qualify all of those
oh my gosh,
statements
I just found
it. With, you know, check for yourself.
Oh, well, I guess
we're
take
having
a break,
now.
KC at RAM 1460. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Welcome back. She'd been Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Forget that Happy Holidays crap. Merry Christmas.
Hey, you know, it was interesting. We had to go to Costco yesterday. My mom's
said
like,
it.
My mom's like, can you go to... Yeah, the first crap of the day.
I was going to get that in there.
My mom's like, oh, can you run by Costco and get rolls for dinner? Your Costco's not as crowded as ours.
Oh, man.
it's like 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm all,
no problem.
Oh. I can do it. Oh. It really wasn't that big a deal. It actually wasn't that big a deal.
Oh, really?
The whole parking lot was jammed. But we were like the third person in line. It was like
nice.
The regular amount of people. But everybody in there that worked for Costco, that was my point in going down this road, told us Merry Christmas.
Good.
I know.
Good. I'm surprised
like,
from Costco because, you know,
well, it was just
how I feel about them.
It was just, well, they're co-founder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Corporately, they apparently do not donate anything to anyone mm-hmm. but the co-founder did. And since you have to say who you work for or yeah. anything when you donate. Okay, here. I found the email I was talking about earlier. I guess if I spoke in the microphone, it'd be easier to hear.
What? You saw the thing. Well, I think that was at the Tea Party meeting, in fact, wasn't it? That said Costco donated 99% to Democrats in the last election.
Right.
But you're saying that was the founder.
The co-founder.
The co-founder. Well, we knew that.
Held two fundraisers for Barry Satoro.
Yeah, and then chatted him up at the Democratic convention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Well, I'm thinking maybe that's just...
What?
You know, good business strategy because stores like Costco tend to do well in lousy economies.
Mm. Okay, could you? Okay, Bob,
that was good.
Let's pretend.
Sounded like two dogs.
Yikes. okay, so let's pretend. You own Costco. Are you doing that?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, there you have it. Okay, so anyway.
We make our point and we rest
I'm
our case.
Saying,
I'm just saying.
There may be convoluted logic there.
Mm-hmm. You think? That tends to happen on the left side of the world.
And hysteria. Okay, so did you know? Here you go. Did you know? I love the did you know ones. A 1997 high school shooting in Pearl, Mississippi was halted by the school's vice principal after he retrieved his Colt 45 he kept in his truck. A 1998 middle school shooting ended when a man living next door heard gunfire and apprehended the shooter with his shotgun. 2002 terrorist attack in an Israeli school. Guess who had the weapon of choice there?
The teacher.
Mm-hmm. Of course. 2002 law school shooting came to an abrupt conclusion when students carrying firearms confronted the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
2007 in Ogden, Utah, in a mall, ended when an armed off-duty police officer intervened. 2009 workplace shooting in Houston, Texas, was halted by two coworkers who carried concealed handguns. 2012 church shooting in Aurora, Colorado. Yikes!
Oh,
Didn't even hear about this one. Stopped by a member of the congregation carrying a gun. At the recent mall shooting in Portland, Oregon, the gunman took his own life minutes after being confronted by a shopper carrying a concealed weapon. Didn't hear that one either.
Wow, they left that part out.
No, and here's a little stat at the end. 2,500 times last year alone, legal gun owners stopped violent crime when confronted with it long before any police assistance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the police don't want to be there. It's just that they have to be everywhere. Well, how can they possibly
and
be
honestly,
everywhere?
They can't be there when it's happening. They're only going to come clean up afterwards. That's really the best they can do.
Well, I mean, spur of the moment. Yeah. What are the odds that, you know?
Yeah.
But
well, at the end of the day,
and for those people out there that are going, well, I hope all those people have training. Hey, guess what? It's a law that you have training.
And give me a break, folks. Wake up.
Well, it's interesting. I keep hearing that, though. You know, well, if you know, who knows if those people have training?
You can't get the license without being trained.
There you go. And it's not a classroom thing. It's classroom and field.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to be able to handle.
You absolutely do. Been there, done that.
Yeah. So I thought I'd get that in there.
And you know, an unarmed society is a society that is easy to control by your government.
Yeah.
There, I said that too. You know you're thinking it.
There you go.
So I'm just going to say it.
Well, we've come. It must be 20 minutes. You know how every 20 minutes, you know, a room will fall silent?
Yeah.
we're all sitting in here looking at each other, which isn't good
and
on
you're
radio.
Right. It's been 20 minutes.
It's been 20 minutes. And so, we all of a sudden all hit the lull.
So you're out and about a lot covering the North State. How's everybody doing out there?
You know what? People are. You know, people are pulling it together. I mean, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot happening that the, you know, all the different agencies that want to encroach on everybody, that's not letting up, which is just really tone deaf as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give these folks a break, will you?
Yeah.
I think that's going to get bigger this coming year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have people gearing up. You know, and even the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, he keeps saying in all of his, you know, speeches and in his writing that the people in rural America are defensive right now.
Gee, I wonder why.
But he keeps telling them they need to stop being defensive because it's not motivating for younger people to stay in rural America when it feels like it's going to be a fight.
And who's the one that's putting them in that position?
It's just like, okay. You know, I guess if you'd stop attacking them, they'd stop being defensive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, and it's funny because I was having this conversation with somebody in the last few days, and I never thought that at this point in my life I would get up every day and wonder what thing coming from which direction I was going to have to brace myself for. And everybody's that way.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, well, you just, you know.
Whether it's crime or attacks you didn't know about or somebody knocking on your door because, you know, whatever. I mean, you just, anymore, you wake up every day wondering, okay, what's the opposition going to be today?
Yeah, what are they going to be up to? What rules are going to be passed? Well, you know, and then you keep hearing rumors. It'll be very, very interesting when the new year lifts off. We'll have to all be really on our game because I'm sure we're going to get all these emails about legislation that's being proposed, and we better just do our homework and double check.
Yeah,
because I think it's, you know, I think almost anything people would believe, especially in California.
Yeah, and it is true because there are a lot of rumors flying.
Exactly,
and it's really easy to go into a panic. So you do have to do the homework.
Yeah, sometimes we need to panic, but sometimes we don't.
Or go to somebody that you know you can trust, somebody that you know has good, solid answers.
Yeah, we'll do our best to keep you guys up to speed mm-hmm. on what's going on. That won't happen. The legislation won't really hit until after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm. When are they back in session?
I don't know the exact date.
Are we talking state?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they've already been sworn in. So, mm-hmm. And speaking of that, if you live in Northern California, by the way, thanks to a member of the legislature who will remain nameless, and you all know his name, Dan Loke.
Sorry. Why is it always me that lets the cats out of the bag?
Who felt the need to run for two offices at the same time and cause a car crash on the election freeway? You've got to vote again.
Oh, yeah, because of him.
Yeah, those ballots mm-hmm. have to be turned in by the 8th of January. So I'd do it before mm-hmm. Christmas. Mine are sitting on my desk. Mm-hmm. Jim Nielsen and... I don't remember.
Boy, he just missed it by a hair, too.
I know, and it was just silly. So, anyway, get your vote out for Jim Nielsen. And we can't even go into this because it's too circular, but bottom line is it will be for the 4th Senate District. So it'll be the 12 counties in Northern California that were covered by Senator LaMalfa. Mm-hmm. Even though many of those counties have now been stripped out because of the redistricting. Mm-hmm. But that's who has to vote. So if you got that in the mail and you're going, wait a minute, I don't think he's our guy anymore, vote anyway. Mm-hmm. Because you really are part of the special election. So anyway, check with your neighbors and stuff because this will be incredibly low turnout. I mean, you have one race on a ballot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's costing all of our counties money.
Yeah, $2 million
yeah.
is the number I heard. And I don't know if that's total.
I don't know if, and it's not, that's not one county,
yeah,
but
yeah, I think that's
yeah, I don't know what
cost.
The aggregate total is. So anyway, we've got to do that. So that's just a little note for the first of the year, and that'll be really easy to miss.
Yeah, it will be. That'll sneak up on you really fast.
Yeah. Next, I wanted to let you guys know that next Sunday we'll have Jim Beers on. Did I send you guys that email?
No, not yet.
About Jim? Jim is an interesting guy. He is just, he's got a ton of information on wolves. He lives in Minnesota. Let's see, I was kind of hoping I could pull that up for you. Anyway, he lives in Minnesota. I get really, really good information from him. Mm-hmm. Wildlands Project, wolves, how that all fits in, and why they're doing it, why the agencies are doing it.
See, the why is always really good.
That's the part I think is awesome.
That's the fun part, to always find out why.
Yeah, so... So why?
And it never seems to, and it never makes any sense, does it?
No.
It never actually adds up to the outcome.
No, because we start looking at all this stuff and it's like, what? Yeah. So I think that will be helpful for people, a good conversation for the first mm-hmm. part of the year. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we Ooh. Will have, I think that very next week, we'll have Dr. Doug McConnell on heart surgeon from here in town.
Yes, I actually would really like to hear that.
I was chatting with him mm-hmm. while we were ringing bells down at Dick Wilkinson's mm-hmm. house for the Christmas thing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And ringing the bell got a little boring. It's like, hey, who, you know.
Yeah.
I was booking radio
Good.
Shows.
Good.
So anyway, and if anybody's got any great ideas on people that we should hear from the first part of the year, we definitely want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. You can email us, Erin, E-R-I-N, at wethepeopleradio.us.
Right.
And actually,
our ideas come from other people most of the time.
Oh, yeah. It's a total chain reaction. Somebody's on, mm-hmm, and then they mm-hmm. say, hey, I know this guy, mm-hmm. or, you know, I got this great email, or, you know, I... keep track of like news with views, different things.
Yeah,
we read different
yeah.
things. It's like, ooh, they would be fun to have on. Obviously, new year, new stuff going on, but we would love some sponsorship.
Yeah, so you can contact Elizabeth at We the People Radio.
Yeah. You better spell yourself. There's a couple options for you.
Elizabeth. There you have it.
Yeah, so get a hold of Elizabeth if you have some ideas for sponsorship, and that would be fantastic. Okay, so are we ready for another Christmas jingle? And
yes,
then we'll
we
get Rosa on the line.
We've been playing Christmas music the first half hour here. We will go thematic once we get Rosa.
We will go thematic.
Ooh.
Da, 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 da.
Very good, Bob. That rolled off your tongue really well.
We will go thematic. All right, so get ready to go thematic,
people. Come back and we'll find out what that means.
All right, you're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.
Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving away when we all live together. I'm talking about together now. Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving away when we all live together.
We're back. We the People Radio. Jump on the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us or KCNR 1460 and check out the webpage. Everything about our guest today and all the shows that we've had over the last couple of years all have individual links to email out far and wide. Information that you will not get in the mainstream media. Really encourage you to check out that webpage. Robert takes care of that for us. Does a fabulous job.
Thanks, Robert.
It is so full of information. There's no excuse not to get the truth out.
And it's been revamped and it's quite lovely.
Yeah, I like it.
Quite lovely.
Yes.
Hey, I found my list from Mr. Jim Beers for next week, so you guys will get, like, extra promo. We don't always have all this information this early, but we'll be talking about the transformation of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Forest Service, and BLM from managers of the land to closers of the land with the grazing closures, wilderness, predators with wolves, grizzlies, cougars, black bears, historic scenic area declarations, land purchases, land easements, and partnering with different agencies and how that affects us. And we can
we
go
have a black
from
bear
there.
At Hilltop in Cypress.
That's true. We have a black bear at Hilltop in Cypress. Ken wanted to know if we had any good wolf recipes. we'll get Jim on that right away. So do we have Rosa?
We have Rosa. Hi, Rosa.
Hey, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She just emailed me. She's like, hello?
Are you guys awake over there?
Oh, totally.
Oh, never.
We got a little behind. That hardly ever happens.
No, never.
That hardly ever happens. So you,
I'm always the first one here.
You have been a woman about what? About planet, I guess.
Yeah.
I was going to say about town. But
you haven't been everywhere.
Been in the South. I ran into people in Virginia that had just seen you. I mean, you're everywhere.
You talking to me?
We're talking to you.
Yes, that's me. I have been all over, and next year I'm going to start going around the world, which is going to be, my carbon footprint's going to be huge next year.
We got to get you to Brazil.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to Denmark to speak at a conference, and then I'll be speaking at other places in Europe as well.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, Agenda 21 is everywhere.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the more you learn about it, when you finally understand the big picture, you really start to see it everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because they never, you know, it's not called Agenda 21, so that's how you can get labeled a conspiracy theorist or a tinfoil hat nut, because you'll never see it called that. So then, you know, I have to say a lot of your elected officials are just ignorant and don't recognize what it is that they're looking at. And, of course, that's part of, you know, that's our job as an informed electorate to assist our elected officials. And then if our elected officials refuse to look at the information that we're giving them, then we need to work to remove those people from office.
Now, and because you've been traveling all across the United States and you know, you've been on some pretty, made some powerful connections, Glenn Beck and, you know, just to name a few, but mm-hmm. How are people receiving the message out there?
You know, what I'm saying and what I fully believe is that 2013 is going to be the year of critical awareness. Everyone knows that something's wrong, and it really helps to have, to understand the context of what is wrong. So when you hear the truth, you know it's true. And people understand that there is a reason why we've got a collapsed economy, why our school system is destroyed and getting worse, even though we're putting more and more money into it. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many issues that are part of Agenda 21 because it is about collapsing the world to create social equity and ultimately for, you know, total control of populations and everything that entails, surveillance and control of land use and mobility. So when people get it, then there's no question, they're totally on board. And we're really reaching critical mass, I believe. And in 2013, that will be the year.
So do you think, like your article, I mean, let's not gloss over that, because it's not very often that I get an email that says, the World Happiness Index and Mass Murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of an edgy title.
Yeah, a little edgy, isn't it?
Just a little edgy. It was a little, I think I sent something out, I think the promo for the show that I emailed out said, is Agenda 21 making kids crazy? Because I thought, you know,
driving them insane in school.
Yeah. So I thought, if I actually send out the real title, people would be like, okay, I don't think I'm going to listen to that one right before Christmas.
I know, hey, yeah, it's too bad. Unfortunately, Santa's not coming down the chimney.
So we sandbagged him. You know, I told him, you know, is it making your kids crazy? So here we are. But you know what? For the people who haven't read the article, which is on wethepeopleradio.us, if you would like to, give folks an overview of that idea, because that really, I read that and I'm like, man, I hope she's free this Sunday.
great. Well, thanks. Yeah. Well, a lot of people are not aware that there are many different indexes on the internet that are called World Happiness Index or the Global Happiness Index or the National Happiness Index. And this concept, is a United Nations concept. And the idea is that everyone, I called my book Behind the Green Mask, because there's always something that sounds real good that goes along with these things and gets you to cooperate. So the idea is that the world, you know, sort of gives itself a temperature check and sees how everyone's doing, and, you know, every country is rated, every nation is rated, and then you can get right down into cities and local areas for happiness, you know, that we're not supposed to think about happiness in terms of what we have. You know, we're not supposed to think about gross national product. We're supposed to think about gross national happiness. So there are indices that are used around the world and that are pushed by the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, ICLEI, that measure the happiness of the world and by country. And so I have one a graphic representation of one of these that shows that out of, you know, the 196 nations in the world, that there are only like three or four that are actually happy, and that is Mexico, Ecuador, and a couple of other Central American countries. And of course everyone's miserable in the U.S.
Yeah, of course, that's nice and red.
Yeah, that's nice and red, you know, and green is, you know, Mexico, and mm-hmm. So
tell that to the people living near the border.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's like
it doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, it's ridiculous. But the idea is to shame you. See, this is part of communitarianism, mm-hmm. is that you are, you're basically, your individual rights are balanced against the rights of the community, and that everything is supposed to be for the common good. So that if you are not, you know, participating in this sort of rah-rah game of everyone being happy because they are, you know, tied in with, environmental concern and balancing and smart growth, then, then you're not, you know, if you're not into sustainability, then how can you be happy? And so when I wrote this article, the article is about children, really. It's about, you know, because the question now is, what's going on with kids? Why? What about, you know, what is going on with mass murder and children? And one of my premises in this article is that children are being taught in school from a very young age, from kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, that the world, the planet is dying, and they are the cause, that human beings are the cause. And if you go into an elementary school and you look through, you know, like let's say it's a Saturday, and you look through the windows and you look at their little drawings in there, a lot of them, I've been doing this, a lot of them, they have planets they've drawn, the world, the earth, and then over it, it says, save our mother, or our mother is dying. Children are being stressed emotionally with this concept that they are killing the planet. And, you know, along
and
with
how
that,
does a little, how does a little kid wrap their head around something like that?
Well, especially when grown-ups are falling for it. I mean,
and they're being also being told that they can save the planet.
Mm-hmm. No burden of responsibility.
Save the planet. So look at that. They're doing this with children who are, fundamentally powerless. No one is less powerful than a child. And then they create this emotional, mental stress in a small child. And it's, as I say in my article, it's reprehensible and it's completely irresponsible to do that to children. And along with that, of course, they're being taught, if you're a teacher now, you're teaching nonviolent communication. And for, children, if you've been around kids or have kids or been a kid, children are, this is what it's about to be a child. You're kind of an uncontrolled force that is learning to be, civil. And small children, a lot of kids are very emotional and respond to their emotions immediately. And what's happening with them is they're being trained, they're being told that this is wrong, and that, whatever they say, they might say the wrong thing as a child and be accused of being bullying or accused of hate speech. And this kind of thing, this creates, you can actually create psychosis in people. And especially in very, easily impressioned children. And this is part of the madness that is being created in children right now.
And, that's just evil to do that to children. I mean, they're, like you said, they are the most powerless. They're completely innocent. And even if you look at the whole thing from a physiological standpoint, their brains are not even fully developed. How could they possibly grasp that kind of a concept, that you are responsible for killing the planet and you can save it? I mean, how does a child grasp that?
Mm-hmm. I know. And if you're a member of the Sierra Club or one of the other nonprofits like Natural Resources Defense Council, they send out calendars and they send out cards, greeting cards and things like that for you. If you're a member, you get these packages. And a lot of them are wolves, right? They have, the little baby wolves. Well, anything that's a baby is cute,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be like a terror thing from another planet. It's going to be cute if it's a baby. So, they have these small, little wolves, and they say people are murdering them, and what can you do to help stop this? And they give this kind of, they put this kind of pressure, emotional pressure, on children. And children are taught sustainable development principles from the time that they're little babies. And these principles are imbued in every single course that go from pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate school. So this is the kind of thing where your, deductive logic doesn't really work here because it plays on the emotions of a person, especially children.
And the idea behind this is so that when they reach the point of adulthood that they accept it and they don't question it?
Mm-hmm. It's, well, look, part of this definitely is creating an obedient populace, because without obedience to this plan, the sort of worldwide plan that requires control, without that, without psychological obedience, you can't impose this, because look at how difficult it is to impose this on so many of us now who are conscious, who did not grow up with this kind of consciousness. Imagine how easy it's going to be, when we are gone. That's why we need to do this now. We need to fight now, because children are being imbued and have been for the last 20 years with sustainable development consciousness. And that's why it is so important. Our responsibility now is so vital, because we were not indoctrinated in that way.
Yeah, you don't even, I guess that was the that was the biggest thing that hit me is we look at some of these adults that seriously are glassy eyed and, you know, ready to walk off the cliff. And it never occurred to me really what was going on the assembly line that the kids were right behind them. Mm-hmm. We need to take a really quick break here or we will have all of our breaks at the top of the hour. We're going to be right back with Rosa Corey. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Rosa Corey, author of Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. Rosa used to be a forensic real estate appraiser.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't say what she used to do. Bob's like, yeah, you guys just kind of started where you left off, like,
last show.
Did you realize it was almost exactly a year ago when we last had her on? It was on December 18th of 2011.
Really?
No
really.
Way.
Yeah.
And that's when you were in Reading. You were up here.
We had her in the studio.
Yeah. It was a year ago?
That was a year ago.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, you need to come up here again now. You're due.
Oh, she's got Europe to conquer first.
Oh, I forgot. I've got a person in the chat room that wanted me to ask you to explain inventory and control.
Oh, great.
So before we hit the hour marker here, I thought I'd better get that in there.
That's great. Yeah, thank you for asking that, because what you're asking me is what is United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development? And besides the fact that it is, of course, a real thing, it's not something that we've made up, it's not Catch 22 or Area 51, it is the United Nations plan signed on to by 179 nations back in 1992, including the U.S., and it's an agreement. It's not a treaty, so it didn't have to be ratified by our Congress. In fact, George H.W. Bush did an executive agreement to agree to that. And then it was implemented in the United States through the President's Council of Sustainable Development, which was created by Clinton in 1993. And it is being implemented now in every single city, county, state in the entire United States and across the world. So what Agenda 21 is, it is the blueprint. It is the it's the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all plants, all minerals, all construction, all means of production, all education, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. It is an inventory and control plan. So when you think about inventory and control, you need to think about all of the regulations and rules that are coming in regarding land use, regarding, for instance, the smart grid, your energy use. That is managing and controlling every aspect of how you interact with the energy system. The educational system is being inventoried and controlled, and you are being inventoried and controlled. What this is about, globalization, is the standardization of systems, and that is what we're having across the world. all systems are being harmonized. All laws are being harmonized. All of these systems are being brought into the same line, all harmonized and made uniform so that they can be integrated and controlled as a single unit. That is the goal of Agenda 21, is really one world government, global governance. And that is what we are. This is the way it looks. We are, you know, one thing in the United States is that we kind of feel that nothing could happen to us here, that, you know, that we have not had a war on our soil for a long, long time, not in any living memory, and that nothing like this could ever happen here. But it is happening, and this is what it looks like. It looks like surveillance cameras and loudspeakers in lights, in streetlights. It looks like biometrics in an airport and being searched even though you've done nothing wrong. It looks like destruction of existing buildings and construction of smart growth, which is fully wired to manage and control you. And it looks like creating children who are so stressed and so fearful and so managed and controlled that they end up being used as levers to change and manipulate society. This is behavioral modification through that glowing box called a computer. That's direct instruction and management of populations. And this is the way that it's done. This is what it looks like.
And it's coming through Common Core Curriculum. Might look up that. Hey, we'll be right back with you in 5 minutes. Time to get a little coffee and listen to the news. I'm sure it'll all be good. You're on with We the People Radio and Rosa Corey. We'll be back with her for the second hour here at KCNR 1460 AM.
What shall we do about them?
Hour number two of We the People coming up after the news here at KCNR Shasta Ray.
Of We the People Radio, joining your hosts Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our sound engineer Bob Martin. And today we're talking to Rosa Corey, author of Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. She's been traveling the nation, talking about the big picture, the global community, global control, mind control, body control, energy control, food control, information control. You know, she did
everything but bladder control.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure that's so coming.
We were talking
soon.
About Obamacare a minute ago.
And Rosa's got kind of an interesting story, and she's been on three times before, or a couple of times.
We had her on before Coast to Coast.
I think this is her fourth time.
But the Coast to Coast one was super awesome.
But, Rosa, why don't you give just a little synopsis of your history and why you came to be where you're at?
And your website.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Well, I'll start by saying I am a liberal Democrat, and although I, you know, less and less inclined to identify myself by any political party, but it just annoys the Democrats so much now that I can't give it up. I have been a Democrat since I was first able to vote, and when I was 18, and that's been my identification and the way that I, my worldview, that's the way that I look at the world. I was a district branch chief for the California Department of Transportation for many years and just recently retired. I was an expert witness, expert in land use and land valuation in doing complex valuation, large commercial properties. And around the year 2002, I began to see that there was a planning revolution going on. And that, in fact, people were not really able to use their property by right. And in doing research on that, because I had to be able to testify to what property could be used for and what it was worth, I started looking into it and seeing that it wasn't just in the San Francisco Bay Area where I was working. It was, in fact, across the country. And at the same time, I was elected to a project area committee to do oversight on a huge redevelopment project, a 1,300-acre redevelopment project in my city in Santa Rosa, California. And when I looked into that, I found that it was fraudulent. And in doing the research and fighting that, we eventually sued to stop that. in doing the research on that, I looked behind it and found United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. And so, it, you know, this was not something that I was expecting to find. In doing my research, I found that money, power, control, and management of populations is all part of Agenda 21, and in fact that it has many faces and many names, and we'll see it as regional regional planning, regional land use planning, and many, many other things. And that's how I saw it, as redevelopment.
And, you know, when we talk about regional planning, we talk about a global community. I think as human beings, every individual wishes to live their individual life having control over their own individual life, their own individual families, their own individual surroundings, their immediate community. And I don't know that the general public realizes that when you use those terms regional and global, that basically the further away the power source, the less control you're going to have over your life. If you have an issue with your water company, locally, you can literally go to their front door, walk into their office, and deal with the problem. If you go into regional planning with your water sources, it makes the ability to solve your own individual problem that much more difficult, because the powers that be will be that much further away. And if you have a global government, how are you going to fight the things happening in your own backyard when your government is global?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that I mean, it's even worse than that, because with, you know, of course, in our American system, we have you know, our government is city, county, state, and federal, you know, basically, whether it's a province or, I mean, a, you know, parish or whatever, but you know, city, county, state, and federal, and all of those are elected positions, city, county, state, and federal, but Agenda 21 is a global top-down system. It's global, regional, neighborhood, and none of those are elected, global, regional, neighborhood. So you literally, Agenda 21 does, what sustainable development does, is it's an erasure of jurisdictional boundaries, and it actually removes your opportunity to have representative government. And, you know, there's nothing more important than that. There literally is no avenue to influence what it is that is happening to you in a Agenda 21 system, global, regional, neighborhood. And what that means is actually infiltration, management, and control of neighborhoods right down into a neighborhood association. So people are literally, they literally farm for people who are going to be easily managed, controlled, and manipulated. And then those people are elevated to positions of power in government, in local neighborhoods. And then those people are given power through unelected boards and commissions. And this is the way that populations are managed.
Well, I have somebody on the chat room who wants you to, they're asking you to connect the growth policies. Actually, they said planning, also known as visioning, also known mm-hmm. as growth policies. And can you connect, just for people, can you give them a 360-degree view of the growth policies idea?
Yeah. One of the things, okay, so when we're, for instance, when you're in a town and you've got, you know, you might even have urban growth boundaries in your town. You might have actually voted to have urban growth boundaries, which what that means is that the edge of your town is determined and no construction can be done outside of that. And, you know, so basically everything inside of that line gets infrastructure to go out to it, and everything can be developed within that area according to the zoning. But with growth management, what we're seeing is through regional plans, we're seeing restriction on development even within the growth management area, even within the urban growth boundary. You're finding that land is being restricted and not you're not able to actually use it for what it's zoned for. And you might have priority development areas within your urban growth boundary that you cannot develop outside of that. So it's a very limited area, and that's what smart growth is about. So when you have restrictions like that for what you can do with your land, you know, obviously people aren't going to be happy with it, and this is one of the reasons why these government-sponsored consultant meetings, which are called visioning meetings, are used to manage the population by actually using propaganda techniques. They use a mind control technique called the Delphi technique. When you get invited to give your opinion on that new regional plan for the center of your town, you know, come on down and tell us what you think about, you know, this new Horizon 2035 plan for the center of your town. And you go there, and it is actually set up in, you know, your small tables. You have little clickers where you can vote, and you're being directed to a predetermined outcome. You're being told that you're crafting that plan yourself, but that's a lie. Really, that plan was determined way before you ever came in the room. And what the whole meeting is designed to propagandize you, to manipulate you so that you support this plan, and to elicit your support so that they can say then, the consultants, that they have you know, offered the plan to the people and that everyone agrees and that, you know, there's full community support for it. And this is a way that we are manipulated and propagandized to accept sustainable development. And this is how our towns are remade, because this is what smart growth is. It's remaking existing towns to a United Nations Agenda 21 model.
Well, and for those people that are frustrated that that the 20-somethings, you know, age group is not getting involved in this pushback, and we have lots of Tea Party groups out there, for instance, that are, well, we really need to, you know, wake those kids up.
Get younger people involved.
I'm really hoping that you read the article posted on the website that Rosa put up this week, because honestly, that's going to be our toughest group. See, because all these things that you're saying make sense to me, and as I'm listening, I'm going, the people who've been told the planet's dying and they need to recycle everything and wear hemp or whatever, you know, take drugs, smoke pot, all these different things, they're not catching this right away.
Hey, we've got Elena calling from Montana, and I think she's
great.
A friend of yours. Are you there, Elena?
Yes, I am. You hear me now?
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Rosa, nice to hear you again.
Great, thanks for calling.
Well, yeah, when you mentioned regionalism, this is going on big time here in Montana. And I do a lot of research, and I'm connecting it even to New York. New Rochelle, New York has a regional program. Mm-hmm. And they're all so really similar. And people better pay attention, especially to Montana. It is important. It's a really big state. It's got a lot of resources, especially water. And they're coming in, they being the federal government, and they are taking over control of our water. They're right in the process of doing it. And they'll use anybody. Right now they're using the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. Negotiations. I don't know why the Indians trust them. They got screwed by the federal government over 100 years ago, and they're going to get screwed now. With regional planning, there's certain words that you really have to watch out for. We have two plans going on here in Montana. One is called the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. It's put out by Headwaters. That's also a national group. That they're doing in southern Montana, one of the counties I happen to be in. In the north central part of the state, it's called Vibrant Futures. Mm-hmm. All these touchy-feely names. And I just want to tell you guys, the Delphi technique, they're aware that we're aware of it. They're not even having meetings. We find out about it in the newspaper that our our local officials have just signed up for some stupid kabuki theater. I love that term. Rosa introduced me to that term, kabuki theater, and it's going around. Okay, I said my piece.
Thanks, Elena.
Thanks, Elena.
You know, that is the new, you know, what you'll see now, you know, instead of the meetings where the community, you know, so-called, where your town actually gets together and, you know, you sit at these little tables and the consultants make a presentation at the front. That's a mind control technique, but the positive to it is that you're all together in the same room, and you yourself can stand up along with your group, and you can anti-Delphi those meetings. You can take those meetings down. But the new plan, way of managing these meetings is to, in fact, not have open meetings at all. What they do is they do open houses where they put a lot of it online, and then they'll have an open house where, you know, you can drop in and give your opinion. And all of the input is taken online. So that means that anyone, for instance, if you're in Montana and you've got one of these plans going, I can comment on it in California. And there's no way of telling where I am or who I work for,
yep,
or who's paying me to make comments on that plan.
We recently had something very similar in our area. I would say, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. I think it was with the Forest Service. They were going to be having a public meeting at our convention center. And when we got there, it was nothing more than a bunch of tables put around the room with posters and 12-year-olds standing there answering questions and giving you a website where you could go give your input. But you're right. It was nothing more than an open house.
Oh,
it was
Spotted owl habitat.
That was the spotted owl habitat, yep. The expansion of the spotted owl habitat. And there was no public meeting.
But we
look
also.
At that, they're using children.
Yeah.
You know, and you know.
And when I say 12 years old, I meant like 25.
Oh.
I was
well, you know, they really.
You have to catch on to the sarcasm there.
She was sandbagging.
They really are actually using children.
Yeah, they are.
Asset based community development is another way. Let me tell you, you know, how ugly and awful this plan is in case you haven't caught on to it yet. The idea, the concept is that you're either a producing member of your so-called community or you're a consuming member. And if you, if you're kind of feeling a little bit paranoid about the death panels and stuff like that, this should really kick you into overdrive. Because the idea is, you know, if you can't do something productive, then you're a drain on society. So one of the things that you'll start seeing is that retired people people who are no longer so-called productive people will be partnering with children to do energy audits. And this is just one of the many ways that they'll actually be, first of all, having children indoctrinate adults, because children are simply, what they're doing is they're using children as indoctrination machines. They're taking those children into schools, they're feeding them full of information, and then they're sending them back out into their homes, where their parents are actually filling out questionnaires that are assessment questionnaires. This is part of, you know, this is one of the ways of changing social behavior. This is behavior modification. So when people are adults are partnering with children to do energy audits, for instance, you'll have these people coming into your home and checking the interior of your home for energy leaks. And children will be told that they're doing this to save the planet. And adults, elderly people will be told that they're partnering with children in order to change, negatives in the community to positives. But really what this is about is control of your mind. This is mind control and also control of your body. And this is part of what Agenda 21 is about. It is, and this is why, of course, computers are used and gaming is used, because it's about changing the way your mind is wired. And you can do that with children because their minds are really not fully developed. But with adults, it's more difficult. So they are being partnered with children so that they will have their behavior modified.
And how scary... Tab,
I'm sorry. I just want to add two more things, and then I'll get off the phone that Rosa just brought back to mind. As far as using the children to get at us, that's true. In Missoula, Montana, a few months ago, there was a big controversy about a film that was being shown in grade schools. It's called The Story of Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, if you heard of that one.
Yeah, there's a new one now.
I think one of the teachers here in Montana was the one that brought, created that wonderful thing. The other thing I want to say is the growth policies are very important. If you have a growth policy, that is like inviting the vampire in. Vampire being every stupid, touchy-feely, fluffy vision, abstract, or plan that's out there. So, just a suggestion, you got to get rid of your growth policies if you have it, because that opens the door to everything else. Without that, it's a little different process, but that would be a good start. And with that, you guys have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for the show. I'll be listening more often.
Thanks, Elena. And if you have any good ideas for guests, let us know.
And we're going to take a quick break.
Going to take a really speedy break. If you guys want to look up something on your computer while you're on break, look up the story of change. That's the morphing of the story of stuff. That'll irritate you, too. Hey, you're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be.
Okay, I am not singing along to that song anymore.
I'm not saying along to anything anymore.
No more. Hey, we've got a caller on the line, but very quickly, I have to get this question.
Well, remember, it was recorded before Agenda 21. It was 1986.
Okay. Hey, so real quickly, Rosa, you talk about in an Agenda 21 neighborhood that everyone needs to be a productive citizen. Given that, especially in the state of California, we have so many people that are completely non-productive and receiving some kind of government assistance, what do we do with those folks in a perfect Agenda 21 world?
Well, part of the plan, a real fundamental element of United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development is to create dependence on government.
Oh, it is.
The idea is to create people who are totally dependent on government and who that therefore are willing to go along, along with any plan that comes down that continues their subsidies. And this is a way that people are developed who are supporters of this plan. And then those people are expected to continue to basically propagandize or agitate to continue this plan. So, for instance, low-income housing often is is sort of a mask for Agenda 21, because this is where your tax dollars are used to develop smart growth in the center of your city, and you're paying for it. It's non-productive housing, basically, that is subsidized. It's for-profit housing that's paid for with your tax dollars. So the people who live in that, housing that is low-income housing, are subsidized by your government, and they want to see more of that. And so this is how people are controlled and supported and actually created. This creates supporters of this plan.
Okay. So, and we've got Carl on the line?
Yeah, we do.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, ladies.
It's like, our show's canceled already? It's only 9:30. We have a half hour left.
I'm just saying, as usual, I get into it right in the middle of a big fight.
Oh, you don't sound...
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Carl, do you have a cold?
I do.
Oh,
I do, but
I'm sorry.
You know what? I feel good.
That's good.
I'm just a little stuffy. But what I wanted to say was, well, Linda said Merry Christmas. We want to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We want to say Happy New Year. And what a great part of our family you all, we the people, have been.
Well, thank you so much for including us. We never would have thought of it if you didn't think of it first.
And I'm so glad that we haven't embarrassed or shamed you.
You know what? The lawsuits. I've kept them at bay here.
There you go.
I really expect you to turn it loose here in the next year.
Oh, I think we will.
You know, I think we need to. I think we need to stand and let people know is that, you know, this area, our North State, is one that we, as a group of people, this is, you know, we believe in a lot of things up here in the North State that's mm-hmm. different in Southern California.
Right.
And we can't let that just kind of go by the wayside.
No.
And it's awesome that you guys bought the station mm-hmm. and are committed to, you know, letting us get the word out. You know, we never are censored. We're never told, you know, hey, that was a bridge too far. I mean, when you can do a program the weekend before Christmas entitled The World Happiness Index and Mass Murder, you've arrived in media. Free and unfettered media.
Well, you know what? It's the fact is we have 17 local programs, and every one of them has got great things to say, mm-hmm. and we're just, like I said, we're really proud that you're with us.
Thank you.
And on the station, and we wanted to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And to you as well, to you and all your loved ones.
Well, thanks,
you guys. Merry Christmas.
You bet. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, Carol.
That's awesome. So for all those people that everybody in the media is corrupt, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Everybody is.
At the end of the day, your best work is done at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's where we all have to work. And, you know, as I say, when I do a lot of interviews, and what I say is that, you know, we could not do this without the people's media. So-called alternative media is a requirement for free people. And, you know, freedom, no matter how you identify it, a major element of freedom is the right to dissent. And this is one thing that Agenda 21 Sustainable Development does not allow, is dissent. And so what we're doing now, you know, is a really powerful act, and that is to speak freely, to exercise our constitutional rights, and to speak out about what it is that we see is happening, which is tyranny. This is treason. And you know, one of the things I just wanted to mention this is that this is funded by your federal government. This is a top-down plan, even though it looks like it comes up locally, and that is where we fight it, is locally. But you'll see it as a partnership for a sustainable development grant, like a HUD grant or an EPA grant, DOT. These are grants that are federal grants that are given for regional planning. And they're all over the United States. And this is what's funding, for instance, Plan New York or Plan ET Eastern Tennessee or One Bay Area or Horizon 2025 or, you know, all these plans are the same plan. So when Elena was talking about Montana, the plan is the same plan all across not just the country, but across the world. The Hanoi Center Regional Plan 2030 is the same plan as the One Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area plan. So this is, you know, something when we speak out about this, this is, as far as the powers that be are concerned, really a subversive act. And that's why we need to continue to do it, because the only way that we're going to stop this is by reaching critical awareness, and we need to speak out, all of us together, and stop this.
Now, Rosa, for the world governance, what is the timeline for their end game, and does that give us sufficient time to fight back?
Well, I'm going to say yes, because I don't care if it's tomorrow.
Right,
there's
right.
no way that we're going to stop fighting. We will stop this. We have to stop it. If you want to continue to have a free country, and it's, you know, it's shrinking. Our concept of freedom, our civil rights are being chilled. Our property rights are being taken away from us. We're losing our children through Common Core. And if you don't know about the Common Core plan for your educational system, you better mm-hmm. take a look at that.
And on that note, go to wethepeopleradio.us, and we have a link. We had Charlotte Iserby.
No, we had We had Orlene Curlin.
Oh, Orlene, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
you should have Charlotte.
Yeah, we have her,
great.
Too.
I love Charlotte.
Yeah, we have both of them. But Orlene talked specifically about the Common Core curriculum.
Core, right.
That was November 25th.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to know about that.
Yeah, so this is, you know, what you're seeing, it's in every facet of your social experience and as well as all of your land use. And this is the way that, that your world changes before your eyes. It's slow and it's incremental. But, you know, this is why we're talking about it. This is why we're out there. And one of the things that you want to look for, you know, is behavior modification. Your own behavior is being modified and manipulated. And that's one thing that games, these violent games that children are playing, are behavior modification techniques, because that is what gaming is entirely. Is behavior modification. And you'll see that, you know, game developers will tell you that it's classic Skinnerian conditioning. It's act, reward, repeat. And your body reacts to video in the same way that that it reacts to real life situations. Your adrenals will release adrenaline into your body, and your brain, especially if you're a child, responds in the same way as if it was real. So this is one of the ways that children are manipulated through gaming. And that's one thing that I wanted to talk about in relationship to the recent, you know, to the Newtown murders. Is that
okay? Before we go there, because that we want to hear that all in one chunk. So,
good. Okay.
Let's thank our advertisers here on this Sunday before Christmas, and then we'll come back and talk about some other good stuff with you. That was Elizabeth.
The obligatory headbutt there.
You can always count on me for
that. We have one weekly headbutt every Sunday. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Crap I learned in high school. It's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Cold I throw. There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they'd let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door.
And we are talking to Rosa Corey, author of Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21.
Okay. So back to the Newtown situation and how that connects to Agenda 21, because I think some folks are like, what?
Mm-hmm. It totally makes sense to me.
It does now, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, when we're thinking about behavior modification, which is essential to United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, because we are, you know, we have a constitutional republic. We've been trained to understand that our Constitution respects and protects our individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Communitarianism is the overarching political and social philosophy of Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and it says that the individual's rights have to be balanced with the rights of the community, and that you have to think about the common good before you think about the rights of the individual. So this is antithetical to the way that we think as Americans, to what we expect our Constitution to protect us from, which is, basically mob rule. So when we're looking at how children are manipulated, this is behavioral modification in the schools through their training, and through gaming, which is violent games that are actually changing the way that their brains are wired, and then psychotropic drugs. Now, drugs are given to children who are uncontrollable in the classroom. The larger the class size, the less control a teacher has, and the less able a teacher is to manage. And the other thing that's happening, of course, through Common Core and standardization of school systems is that children are taught to a test, and if they don't pass that test, their actual school, if their school fails to come up to the standard that it's required to be at twice, then it can actually be closed, and the school can be switched over to a what do they call those
charter school?
Charter school, right? Sorry. So basically, the school's life is on the line there with those tests, and the teachers are required to be able to meet those standards. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on children, and through drugs, through gaming, their minds are actually being manipulated. Now, with drugs, these side effects on these serotonin uptake receptor drugs are there's a side effect, and that is that you know, you may end up being suicidal. You could be violent, and it's what I call psychological collateral damage from a mind-altering kind of Russian roulette. And this is something that is happening across the nation, is that children are being drugged so that they are more easily managed and controlled. And when you tie that in with behavioral modification games that are training children to be to act before they think, which is what a game is. It trains you to actually physically respond without thought. That is the same thing that school training does, Common Core and standards testing does, is it trains you to act before you think. It is not about intellectual development. What it is about creating people who are able to respond in the correct fashion. That's what behavioral modification is. It's about movement and response prior to mental consciousness. It's about going along to get along without question. Mm-hmm. This is what they're doing. They are training people who are willing to go along to get along because they have literally had that drained out of them.
And here's something a little scary.
By logic.
Go ahead.
I recently read that the American Psychiatric Association, which determines mental deficiencies, mental diseases, mental disorders and such, they've recently, if they haven't added it, they're considering adding temper tantrums, children's temper tantrums, mm-hmm. onto their list of mental disorders that would require medication. I mean, you know, that scared me right off the bat, because children naturally have temper tantrums. That's part of their development. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a kid having a temper tantrum in a classroom who is not performing as the teacher would wish, then, you know, they bring in the experts that will say that this child has a mental disorder and will need medication.
ADD. They've all got ADD.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of that, when you think about temper tantrums, what that is a response to powerlessness. And so emotional expression like that for a child, you know, a child is powerless. And a temper tantrum is an expression of frustration and anger with powerlessness. And so when you drug people to remove that natural response to a feeling that, you know, that they have through, you know, through either poor management of their lives or through, you know, the stress that they have living with people who have lost their jobs or people who, you know, simply don't have time for them or whatever it is that you're having in a child or a normal situation with any child who's just, you know, half or less the size of a full-sized human being who can do whatever they want. You have children who are doing making a natural response, and to drug small people, you know, children like that, actually changes their brain chemistry. And we literally don't know the impact that that is having. Now, of course, we have 300 million people in the United States. We have not had that many mass murders, you know, relative to the total population. And yet, you might say any like this are, you know, are far too many. And the feeling that people have when they're doing things like this, they're often people who are, you know, socially inept, right? They are powerless people, and they're expressing power in this way. And this is what we don't want, is to create this blurring of reality through drugs and gaming and restrictions on natural experience and natural consciousness through drugs, through behavior modification in schools with Common Core and standards, and with gaming. And this, all these things taken together are creating tremendous stress on natural growing brains. And this is what I think is not being looked at, is the impact of Agenda 21 sustainable development principles in schools, because that's where children spend the majority of their lives. And this is where they're going when they go and they want to commit murder.
Well, and interestingly enough, it's all rooted in fear. And as a, you know, a product of Catholic school, the joke was always, you know, that we learned all sorts of guilt. You know, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood as an Irish Catholic, went to Catholic elementary school, and I don't have a lot of guilt. Everybody's like, yeah, she should probably get some, but, you know, I mean, I should have a lot of guilt. But, you know, that, you know, joking about that always, that was based on logic. I mean, you looked at fact and then you weighed it out. Kids aren't being taught to weigh out what's real, what you should feel bad about.
And that's true critical thinking.
Yeah. And what's fake. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, everything is bad. And in this,
You know, that's something that I think is really important to look at, especially, you know, when you're talking about something like rethinking mathematics that I was, that I brought up in my article. Right. Rethinking Mathematics is a book that's being used in math classes in the third grade. So those kids are around 8 years old. And basically the teacher is instructed that it doesn't matter what the actual mathematical principle is. Like if you're saying 2 plus 2, if a child says 2 plus 2 might be equal to 5, then that's something that for the entire class to kind of consider and give weight to, because every single individual has, you know, has value. This is the concept. And so what that does is it makes it so that children aren't ever sure about what is right and what is wrong. It's about blurring right and wrong.
And you say in your article that they're removing certainty.
Right, because mathematics is certainty. I don't care if you're standing on your head. If you're doing that math problem right, you're going to get the same answer every time. That's certainty. And that's the beauty of mathematics. And a lot of children love math for that reason. It's a solid certainty in their lives. But what this does, what Agenda 21 Sustainable Development does, is it teaches people to accept any concept without question, because it may or may not be right. It blurs the lines between right and wrong. And it also creates a certain rigidity that's acceptance of sustainable development. So that in itself becomes like the overarching control. Sustainable development is the underlying manipulation and control, you know, because that cannot be crossed, because if you cross that, you are endangering the planet. And this is something that is being used to manipulate the minds of children.
Well, it also allows, if you expect your teachers to function as change agents, and you have some really bright kids that potentially have folks that inform them, it's a way to silence them, because now they can be wrong even when they are factually correct. So it's the ultimate, you know, ultimate control tool. If everything is subjective,
checkmate,
then you decide who's good and who's bad. And if the kid gets tired of getting hammered in school, you know, they ultimately roll over. We need to take a really quick break, like a minute or something. And we'll be right back and finish out this hour with Rosa Corey and all the stuff that goes with that.
We're going to go out with one of Rosa's favorites here.
Oh, goody.
All right.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Hallelujah, Noel, you have a heart out, but Christmas we can't be.
with Rosa Corey, author of Behind the Cream Mask, UN Agenda 21. Hey, Rosa, give us all your contact information, the websites that you've created over the last few years, any way that people can find more information, can they follow you on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I actually don't do Facebook.
Okay.
But, I must be one of the few, but I don't want to support Facebook. Mm-hmm. But we do have a way to link to it. If you want to link our articles on your own Facebook account, you can do that. And our websites are DemocratsAgainstUNAgenda21.com. Democrats. Against UNAgenda21.com. And the other website is postsustainabilityinstitute.org. And we have tons of great information, lots of source documents. If you're looking for UN Agenda 21 and you can't find it on the UN website, we have it.
Great.
We've got lots and lots of links, and we have archived, saved documentation. Our blog is excellent. We have all kinds of terrific links for you and information. Also, my book, Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, you can get it as a paperback on Amazon. You can get it through our websites, and you can also get it as a Kindle book or a Nook. So lots of great information, very easily accessed, really clear information that you can use to identify Agenda 21 in your area and then learn what you can do to stop it, because this is a very important. All of us need to work locally. We can do it. We are doing it all across the world, and it's something you're not going to hear in the mainstream media, because this is a corporatocracy. This is what fascism looks like: control of information through large media-owned, corporate-owned media.
And I really encourage people to get that book, because it is an easy read. It's only about 168 pages, and I literally started it at 5 o'clock one afternoon and had it finished by 11 o'clock that night. So it's very concise. It's laid out beautifully.
It's also an excellent reference because, we have a lot of programs. Like here, we have a lot of programs, a lot of people speaking about this from different angles, but we already decided that your description of UN Agenda 21 is the one we're gonna snip that and put it on the webpage so people can click on it. It was very, very concise,
isn't it? Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. So it really lays it out.
It's a good research tool so that you can, because people not even meaning to will silence other people who are trying to inform them about this. Mm-hmm. And so people are pretty easily cowed. They don't want to look silly. Mm-hmm. And if they cannot verify what they're actually trying to tell somebody, they just won't do it. So good tool.
Yeah, and that's, this is what... The number one thing that we do in fighting Agenda 21 is to educate ourselves and then educate others. It's like that. It's like when you're in the plane and they say, hey, if we're going down, you want to put that mask on yourself and then put it on your kid. You want to first educate yourself, get that oxygen into your brain, and know what it is, because you need to recognize it. Because you will be shamed. People will shame you. They will embarrass you. They will attack you verbally. And what you need to do is to be tough enough and strong enough and knowledgeable enough that won't move you. Because this is real, and it is happening now. I don't care where you are. You look around. When your eyes are opened, you will see it in your community, in your town.
You do. It's amazing. Once you know.
Yeah, and the great part about your book, too, is for all the people that would be considered conservative, who are going to take a hit being a right-wing, radical or whatever, it's pretty great when you hand them somebody's book who has been self-labeled for a very long time as a liberal Democrat. It's like kind of a deal breaker there.
And it's kind of nice because, your
good
whole
tool.
Point, I think, of using that self-identifier is that it dispels all the rumors that this is a right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, this is, you know, freedom's nonpartisan, and Agenda 21 is being implemented and pushed on you by Republicans, by Democrats, mm-hmm. and by independents. It is not a partisan issue, and this is a nonpartisan, worldwide, grassroots fight to stop it. We all have to work together, and when you're helping people who are more on the liberal side see it, show it to them as National Defense Authorization Act, USA Patriot Act, mm-hmm. and restrictions on their freedoms. They will recognize it then.
Well, I think that it makes a lot of sense. And for the people that feel like they're kind of under siege, when you explain all the facets of this, people start to realize, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. I'm not just the target of a million random assaults, you know.
Right.
The land, the water, the air, the wolves,
everything.
You know, one thing after another. But
I know. Healthy eating, active living, that's one of them. I mean, you know, this is literally in every facet of your life.
It's a control. It's all about control. We are so grateful that you hopped on with us here before Christmas and could give us yet another lens to look through on Agenda 21. And
thanks a lot for all your work, Rosa.
Creepy and bad it is.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to chat with you another time. Folks, you've been listening to We the People Radio. We have been visiting here for an hour and a half with Rosa Corey. Please hit the website, wethepeopleradio.us, and forward this show to your friends.
And buy the book, Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. Worth the read.
Check. Merry Christmas, Rosa.
Say hi. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
All right. Merry Christmas, Rosa, Aaron, and Elizabeth.
And John Boy and Mary.